Thank you very much. Have a beautiful day.
Listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
This is MLK Day, and I'm here, Michael, co-host of Tin Can Phone Podcast, which is on every first Tuesday at 10 o'clock on KBOO. Really excited that KBOO is sharing their platform with us today. We have a very specifically timely issue that's going on in our community that I wanted to talk a little bit about. But first, I will give a little bit of a historical account, since I think it's really interesting. People are just finding out about this issue, and they also just don't know what the history is behind it. So let's just start with Dr. King. Dr. Martin Luther King was born on January 15th, 1929. He became an American Baptist minister and activist who was the most visible spokesperson and leader in the American Civil Rights Movement from 1955 until his assassination in 1968. King advanced civil rights through nonviolence and civil disobedience, inspired by his Christian beliefs and nonviolent activism of Mahatma Gandhi. In April 1968, the days following the murder of Martin Luther King, a group of middle school students at Highland School in Northeast Portland began organizing in honor of his death. In the weeks following Dr. King's assassination, these students made a public appeal to the PPS school board and were successfully able to change the name of the school in Dr. King's honor. In the decades following this Black youth-led initiative, the name of the neighborhood and nearby boulevard also changed to honor Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And with this, I would like to read the Oregonian article published in April 24th, 1968. It reads, "Students of Portland's Highland School, who Monday received approval from the Portland District School Board to name it in honor of slain civil rights leader Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., put up their new sign, a temporary one, Tuesday. It was of butcher paper with bright blue letters made by students themselves and already early Tuesday, even before school opened. Martin Luther King Jr. School, which has 842 students, kindergarten through eighth grade, has a student body of about 93% Negro, using the language of the time. It was believed to be the first in the nation to change its name in honor of Dr. King. Inside the school, in front of the main office, students have erected a bulletin board also in the honor of Dr. King, rimmed in black and deep purple. It carries a picture of Dr. King and his word, Nobel Prize designation for his leadership encouraging nonviolent demonstrations. King received the 1964 Nobel Peace Prize. Above this white card was a simple piece of lined school paper, also mounted carrying a theme written by Anthony Wilson of Room 112. Here Anthony writes, Martin Luther King, Dr. King had a dream for all Americans. Dr. King was a Baptist minister. He believed in freedom for all people. Dr. King did not believe in violence. Dr. King did not believe in riots. He went to jail many times for things he believed. He died fighting for civil rights of poor people, black or white. We shall overcome was his theme. And I would like to introduce my guests, Tiffany Robinson and Tyler Brown, to discuss an issue that is currently threatening Dr. King's school community. Welcome, and thank you for taking time out of your lives to share your story with us. Would you mind just letting us know what this issue is?
Well, the issue that is has come forth is basically they have to move Harriet Tubman Middle School. And so Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Elementary is one on the list to be displaced from their community for the relocation of Harriet Tubman.
Yeah, and it's interesting. A part of the history is that I-5, and it was interesting when I was getting ready for the show, I just tried to Google I-5, and the Wikipedia article casually mentions that it goes through the Albina district. But it is interesting because I never was exposed to a history that was different than this, that I-5 specifically in an eminent domain racist designation way cleaved through the Albina district. And so Tubman is moving specifically because the I-5 is now looking to expand. And the suggestion by PPS is that Tubman should be moved to take over an existing elementary school. And so it's interesting, you two are both parents in the PTA, is that correct?
Correct.
Yes.
And so as president and vice president, you're parents of students in the school. I think while this issue was recently covered on the news, which is really exciting, I'm curious what the experience you two are having being a parent in the 21st century. What is that like?
I think, well, first and foremost, we both signed up for this before the pandemic happened. So surprise, surprise. Within that, this issue is a huge surprise that PPS would think that pinning Harriet Tubman Middle School against Dr. Martin Luther King School and closing one of them would be okay. I just don't understand why option B, which is the option to keep to move Dr. Martin Luther King to Harriet Tubman, is on the table. Mm-hmm. The community doesn't agree with it, and we as parents would not like our elementary school to go away. Has a real community feel. I think it embodies what Dr. King's dream is. Kids of all colors and races coming together to accomplish one goal. And I think that's something that we accomplished on Friday during the march.
Indeed. And you are referencing just this past Friday, there was a student and parent family march in order to bring attention to this issue. Tiffany, you were leading the march. How did it feel to be in that moment?
For me, it really warmed my heart. I mean, to be my children is the third generation out of my family to go to Dr. Martin Luther King Elementary, and my dad actually went there also and was there when the school was called Highland Elementary. So he was there for the name change to Martin Luther King Jr. School. And so for me, I'm surprised I didn't cry. Look, it was so good to see everybody in our community from people that worked in the area to parents to supporters, to staff, our former principal, current principal, staff members that left and worked there probably 20 plus years ago. It was just really, really good to see the media, of course, a few PPS board members actually showed up and seen our love and seen, like, the first thing that I said is, like, we're a family. And it's to put Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. against Harriet Tubman, two historical leaders, against, to see which one should, which community should be displaced. It was very upsetting, but to be on Friday, to see everybody come together as a family and stand on both ends for our Black community, we really showed up.
Yeah, it was really quite amazing. I was there as well. It was definitely a heartening event, and I think is a part of the King School community that I know, or in ways actually not, I had not experienced in that way, but I do know is there. I think one of the challenges for me in this issue is that PPS and ODOT and all these different political theatrical characters are making decisions based on some playbook that is not, and in fact, I heard them say, we're using an equity lens. And as you say, how can you take Tubman and erase King, two strong Black leaders? And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to start with Dr. King's story. He was assassinated for organizing the community for equal rights. And I was thinking about getting ready, and I was like, and Tubman was freeing slaves. Like, it doesn't, there's not, it's not appropriate that these namesakes kind of get their buildings cast aside. But it was very exciting to see the community come together. And that's the thing that I think people don't understand is being decimated when you just move money and buildings around. I'm curious, how do you affect, should King, you know, right now there's concern that this will happen. Should this happen and you end up being displaced, what are your concerns about how that might affect you?
My concerns are that, you know, given the events on Friday, that's exactly what Dr. King wants, peaceful protest, for the kids to get an opportunity to fight for something as one. And this is the second protest that students at this school have done since I've been here. Mm-hmm. So it just doesn't sit well, you know? It's like two African-American leaders in Portland has named multiple high schools after presidents and haven't closed those down, or haven't attempted to move those, or change the name. But two of four schools that are named after African Americans in the state shouldn't be changed or moved. We should be preserving them.
Yeah, and it's interesting that I agree they should be preserved and communities should be rallying around them. It's interesting being in Portland, all of us, there is an interesting history of what it means to be Black in this community. It is interesting in the recent past with everything and all of the unrest, and everyone's got the Black Lives Matter signs all over the city. But at the same time, these kinds of things are still happening. As mentioned earlier, I-5 was a very racistly planned highway that destabilized the community. It separated homes, it got rid of homes, Emmanuel Hospital. These histories are well documented. And at this point, it is impossible to see those as not specifically racist actions that destabilize the community. And so in the present, with everyone who has this awareness, there's an opportunity to rally around these communities and to rally around these schools and these institutions, but instead it's the same old business. It was really interesting, right before the rally, me and Mr. Monty were going around to the classrooms and we were trying to educate them about the March on Washington and student-led organizing, and that this event was happening and we wanted to be led by them. And you know, we were led by their chants and their cheers and their enthusiasm. But it was also really curious, or surprising and exciting, when we went in there and we were asking them about King and we were asking them about segregation, they knew what they were talking about. And so when they, I think there is a critique out there that King isn't educating or something, but I know that that isn't true. And as both of you, as graduates of King, how do you feel about the educational experience in this community?
The opportunity to see a bit of what King looked like was working from the Boys and Girls Club before my kids started to go there. They were out by the Head Start. It was just a school I also went to. I also went to King and Tubman. But I had an opportunity to be able to see what King looked like from a different standpoint. And when I walked through the hallways at King to pick up kids, I'd come early and I'd look around and I'd see art on the walls from some of the things that kids have done over the years. I see stuff that I've done still in the school. I've seen teachers that are really involved with their kids. Teachers would oftentimes pull me aside because they knew I worked at the Boys and Girls Club and just wanted to check in with me about students. And it felt like the teachers and the students and the faculty all cared. And that was something that was important to me, that my kids would be supported at school. I wanted to have that and wanted to be a part of the community. So when it was time for my kids to go to elementary school, I made sure Dr. Martin Luther King was very high up on that list and was very proud to get in for my kids to be able to go through some of the same things I went through at the same school, but also feel like they're a part of the community.
I would say for me, having a son that is currently in the eighth grade that I already graduated, I'm Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and having a second grader currently there, for my oldest son, and being a former employee of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., I would say we are the teachers firsthand most definitely care about these children. It's not just at the school, and it's not just about schoolwork. They want to make sure that they are fully well-rounded, like even at home. Like we make sure that if we have children that had like any difficulties going on, that we talk about those things. I feel like from every staff member to every parent to every student, and including the principal, we are a family. And so we, at Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., you don't get that same feel in other schools where, you know, children walk up to you and want to talk to you about, you know, personal issues and things that they're going through. And on the education standpoint, we have so much support staff that from to help out our bilingual kids in different situations so that we are able to help them well-roundedly so that they're able to get the support that they need at the school to achieve.
Right. Yeah, that brings up a lot of different interesting things in my own research in different educational systems or histories. Specifically, I think there were people in the Black community who were against integration because they felt like a Black community teaching Black students was a good educational experience. And part of that, in my studies, part of that was not only in the classroom. The teachers were in connection with the family. The teachers were living in the same community as the students, and they could see aspects of their life and engage them, not just on matters of education. And so, you know, I think that is in not just this school community, but in any school community, a major successful educational structure is not just in the classroom. And it has been kind of distilled into, you know, contemporary educational awareness, the whole child, you know, taking care of all of the different needs. And so what you've described is this ability to have a school that is nestled within the historically Black community that still is kind of being run in this way that supports students in all the different ways. And I also appreciated you bringing up like the multilingual components of the school. The school is now not exclusively a Black school, however, is one of the most culturally integrated schools I hear in all of Portland, and also has the Mandarin Immersion Program. And so I learned that Jefferson was supposed to inherit the high school level of the Mandarin Immersion and was denied by PPS, right? And so there's this form of systematic attack that is actually happening behind the scenes, which, you know, these components are destabilizing in a few ways, because when you have to, let's say you're a Mandarin student and you have to go to some other community where your friends are not, or it is distant from your home. But also, you know, I think for me, a part of the issue that I see here is PBS is kind of making these decisions. They're like, ODOT's gotta expand. They say jump, we gotta jump. Hey, we already spent millions of dollars making sure that the air quality at Tubman was good, but we gotta waste that money and we gotta do a whole new thing. But we have millions of dollars, you know? And, you know, but the solutions right now involve purchasing a piece of land that's too big and doesn't exist, which I have more on that later, and or replacing one of the existing feeder elementary schools. And the reasons that they're making, the choices that they're weighing the decision on, are not the same choices that the community would make a totally different decision based on. But if you displace the students to a different place, the community component that's being described here will be lost entirely. And I think for me, one of the concerns is also known educationally and pedagogically. When a young person is experiencing trauma or destabilization, this results in, you know, they don't have friends, they might start using drugs, they might not keep going to school. And when they have these issues, right, and people are worried about the prison, school to prison pipeline, or they're worried about prisons, or they're worried about crimes, but they're casually making the decisions that put people in a situation where they're unstable. I appreciate both of you kind of commenting on the educational environment in the present. I'm also curious, because I know both of you have multi-generational stories about how you wound up in Portland, or what the intergenerational relationship to the school community is. Is there any more you could say about that?
Absolutely. So I am a son of Bernice Ford, who is from Strong, Arkansas, population 952, those who want to know. My mother was one of 12 siblings, and, you know, when they turned 18 and graduated high school, you know, I had to leave Strong, Arkansas by any means. Six of them chose to come to Portland at some point in their life. And I have an interesting background, because I grew up right across the street from the Blazer Boys and Girls Club on 6th and Roselawn. And I had the opportunity to walk to Dr. Martin Luther King School every day of those 5 years with my brother Brian. And I went to Harriet Tubman Middle School in the 6th grade, and then my 7th grade year, where I spent my middle school and high school years. But it was always important to me to come back to Portland and kind of give my kids that same upbringing of going out buying a Head Start, going to Dr. Martin Luther King School, going to Harriet Tubman. So when I speak about what happens to Harriet Tubman Middle School, I'm invested, because my children will both go there. My second grader, Nazir, was in the MIP program, and also my daughter, Nayeli, who's in pre-K, who also participated in the MIP program out of buying a Head Start. When I speak from love and support for them finding two healthy options to maintain and keep Dr. Martin Luther King School and Harriet Tubman Middle School in our community.
I would say for me, man, it's so funny, because my family is so big on both sides in Portland. And just getting new information even last night about my mom telling me about my great aunties going to King School. So far, I thought only my dad, because my dad and his siblings, my grandma actually had 9 kids, came from Picayune, Mississippi. And they had to, of course, come up to Portland, and they grew off of 9th and Ainsworth. Well, on my mom's side, they grew up off of Mallory and Killingsworth, which, thank goodness, my grandma actually 60, 70 years later still has that house. But coming from a standpoint of my dad's side of the family, where, you know, hearing stories that he told me how King was when he went there, to now him being able to come and support during Black History Month, coming and talk to the kids and giving back and supporting them. And he said it's any grandpa's dream to see his grandkids be at the same school that he grew up in, being that so much has changed in the Albina area. And being that, to follow up with Tyler said, I am Tubman alumni. I did go to Jefferson High School, and there is so much stuff that has changed in this area. And so the stuff that we we can keep the same. We should keep the same, you know. It's crazy being a Portland native. I feel like those are the first conversations that come up, like, oh, what high school you went to? Oh, what middle school you went to? Oh, what elementary, you know? And you hear that King Tubman Jeff, you hear that a lot, you know? And I feel like at least 60, 70% of our Black kids that grew up in my era went to those schools, you know? So to have an eighth grader and have a son that's in second grade, you want those schools to be, still be available for them to go to. And I feel like that's why it's so important to me to most definitely fight for our schools that we still have and that are still represented, still African American, well, Black schools, I should say.
Yeah, no, I think all that's really important and is interesting. Talking about that legacy, you know, so much has been taken from the Black community. That story is well known, but in particularly Portland, as mentioned before, using eminent domain, I-5 was cleared, Emmanuel Hospital, the space for the Moda Center, areas that are actually quite prosperous now were taken out of the Black community, and a lot of people lost things. And so the premise of preserving what there is, but not only preserving and but creating an environment to thrive, not just in namesake. And so it's interesting because PPS is claiming to be, has the community partner of Albina Trust, and it is Albina Trust's wish or insistence that Harriet Tubman not be taken out of the Albina community, but remain inside. And so what that means for PPS is to displace one of the existing elementary schools. And so they're using one perspective of the Black community against another in order to somehow say that they're using an equity lens. And that, you know, I was trying to think of what was the name of your friend who had that rainbow jersey who was at the rally on Friday?
Marte Brown.
Marte Brown. I remember when we were talking to Marte, they were saying that, you know, in the classroom, there's talk of behavioral issues, but there's students who they get, you know, they hear that they have behavioral issues, but they have no behavioral issues when they're working together because he's building the relationship. He looks like them, talks like them, you know, and there's a way in which, you know, PPS has expressed that they're making these decisions in the best interest of the community and somehow are listening. But this story is clear. I've not been anywhere where the story is different about how PPS in Portland has kind of like handled this issue over time. I did want to say for the listeners that if you're looking for a little bit more perspective on this, there's an author named Mitchell S. Jackson who wrote a book called The Residue Years and also Survival Math. Both of these can enhance someone's understanding of what the experiential life is trying to grow up in this community and hold on to it at the same time when the state is kind of working against you. I think we've done pretty good justice to all these different things. Is there any last thing you want people to be thinking about or ways that they can support this effort?
I would say for me, I know as many people know, growing up in the North and Northeast area, knowing that we all a family, we all a community, and with them putting, you know, Harriet Tubman against Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. School, we need everybody to come out. I mean, I plan on before February, us getting together and planning something else, and we need every family to come out because this is what we have left. This is what we have left for our kids and our community and our grandkids and what's to come. So, most definitely, please watch out for your social medias. We have a Twitter going on. We have a Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Community Facebook. I'll be reposting on my own Facebook and Instagram too. So stay tuned for sure. We have more to come. I think we most definitely got to keep the momentum and keep fighting for sure before they make any type of decision.
Beautiful. Well, I thank you both for taking some time. Tyler, did you have a final thought?
Just to piggyback on what Tiffany was saying, to you know, get involved and help save, preserve, and lift up the African American community in Portland. No matter if you're from here or not, I mean, I think this story resonates with everybody, given the historical precedents and injustice that's done to our community. So, just continue to help and get spread the word and help save our community.
Wonderful. Well, again, I appreciate you both taking the time to kind of give our ancestral namesake legacy folks who pushed us in the right direction to help that get shared out on this very important day. You know, I guess I'll conclude with this. When we were making signs with all the kids, one of the kids came up with this idea for a sign that says, "You can't kill King twice," which I thought was cute in a way. But when you really think about it, on the namesake or in cycle with his namesake day, they're talking about replacing the school, and even a kid can see how clearly that's a bad idea. So we hope those of you listening take the time to further look into this issue and to show up for the community. But have a wonderful rest of MLK Day.
You are tuned to KBOO Portland.
I'm George Lavender, and this is Making Contact.
My poor little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the